completo de lunes a jueves. You
find the safari park. You're killing me, Larry.
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
When we last gathered a week ago or so, I was still ensconced in my former home in Los Angeles. It had already been sold, and part of the deal was my family staying there until my daughter graduated high school. That she did, with top honors. But I hate people who brag about their kids. Hang on a second while I punch myself in the face. There. Let that be a lesson to me. So this show is late. Why? Well, besides being on the road, I have to give the blame to Moose, the official guard dog of the Take No Shit Dojo. He's been suffering a terrible series of cluster seizures. He has epilepsy. They say about 5% of dogs do. It first came upon him when he was, 2.5 or so. They're terrifying for him and for us. They afflict him for no discernible reason, and they're violent. He has knocked out teeth while having one alone on a tile floor. He has bitten deeply into his own tongue. He had 10 seizures within 24 hours in this last go-round. Sometimes when he's through with a lengthy one, and lengthy can be as much as 2 minutes, an eternity, he appears to be blind for some time afterwards. And partially crippled. He'll stagger around dragging one hind leg as if it's wooden. He'll walk straight into a wall, which certainly seems a result of temporary blindness. But he always rallies. He comes back. His spirit is indomitable. Even before he's fully recovered, he'll try to engage me in a tug of war, nose a ball my way to throw for him. I love him ferociously, as do my wife and daughters. He's only 13, 14 pounds. A rescue, allegedly, from the mean streets of Tijuana. My wife tells people he was one of El Chapo's guard dogs. When we got him, he was maybe 4 weeks old. He was so small he could sit inside a soup mug. For several days, we struggled with a name for him. As I watched him, so tiny, sleeping in my daughter's arms, I said, "How about Moose?" And it was settled. He's allegedly a Maltipoo, but his birth certificate asserts he's a full-blooded French poodle. And that's entirely possible because he has the attitude of some Parisian aristocrat. He rarely acknowledges other dogs. You can sense his disdain for them. And he's very particular about his two-legged friends. He is the antithesis of a goofy, friendly hound. He's wary, standoffish, snobby, until he chooses you. Then he clings to you like a barnacle. He's a ladies' man, like the old cartoon Pepe Le Pew. He just loves females, especially young and pretty ones. I'm about the only guy he'll tolerate. Others get barks and snarls. If those barks had words, they would be, "Fuck off, tool. I don't like your looks, your outfit, or your politics." In April of 2022, his seizures, which would generally run 15 to 25 a month, they just mysteriously stopped, and nothing had changed. For years, he's been on a diet of ranch-raised organic beef, or poultry, fresh vegetables, and nothing else. He eats better than most of the civilized world. We just assumed he grew out of epilepsy. We were in a hotel in Flagstaff, Arizona. He was asleep on the bed near my feet. I was awakened at midnight by the all-too-familiar vibrations of his conniption, followed by a thud. He fell off the bed and was convulsing on the floor. I reached down in the dark, scooped him up, and pressed my cheek to the back of his head. When he has these episodes, he violently whips his head backwards and has injured his neck before, so I try to limit his range of motion with my face. One of the oddest things about his seizures is the odor they produce. It smells a lot like the scent when electrical equipment shorts out, which makes perfect sense, since a seizure is, in fact, an electrical storm in his brain. I've done endless research on canine seizures, and many dog owners describe that same weird smell. Nobody really understands epilepsy. Accounts of seizures can be found in the Old Testament. The roster of famous epileptics is impressive. Aristotle, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Isaac Newton, Napoleon, James Madison, Beethoven, Poe, Dickens, Tolstoy, scads of others. Moose, like most dogs, is very sensitive. In some ways, he's empathic. He reads the room, and he reads others' feelings. When I received a call a few years back that a close relative had just passed, Moose inexplicably leapt into my lap, pinned his paws on my shoulders, and licked my face before the first tear escaped my eyes. If he had a middle name, it would be Routine. He loves the status quo, and when there's a disturbance in the force, he becomes anxiety-ridden. For several months, ever since we put the house up for sale, his anxiety has been palpable. He's known that big change was in the offing, and I think he wanted no part of it. Maybe that's what caused a resumption of his epilepsy. Who knows? When the cluster seizures begin, the fix is a little white pill, some kind of barbiturate that zonks him out for a day and sort of breaks the chain. Unfortunately, we had none of those pills with us. So the vet in Los Angeles tried to phone in the prescription to the local Walgreens. They would not fill it because the commie state of New Mexico says
it's a controlled substance and will not allow such dangerous, unregulated activity.
Meanwhile, that same commie state of New Mexico does jack shit to control its own border, allowing any fentanyl mule to cross into the country at will. So it's time for some salutations to New Mexico, once a great state, but now a commie shithole. It still looks good. The geography's beautiful. The sunsets are great. Some of the people are nice, but it's a commie shithole. And that status was confirmed on a prior cross-country trip at the dawn of this scamdemic. In Arizona during COVID, it seemed there was no COVID. But right at the western border of New Mexico was a huge LED road sign screaming,
"Mask up! It's the law!"
And New Mexico sheeple did, with uniform compliance. I could not wait to leave, to get the fuck away from not only the mask holes, but the potholes. Typical of a commie-run state, New Mexico is bullish on needle exchanges and social programs, but not real keen on road maintenance. But they do have endless
safety corridors.
What's that? They are 10-mile stretches of
zero tolerance. Put your lights on. Speeding fines will be doubled. You will be punished to the fullest extent of the law.
And the road crews, they have no fucking idea how to conduct repaving. In states where they know what they're doing, they pave one lane at a time and squeeze traffic through a shoulder or an open lane. Not in the land of commie fucktards. In New Mexico, they just stop everything cold for an hour or two. I checked nm.gov, the state webpage. First page is a big red billboard saying,
June is Gun Violence Awareness Month, creating a safe future for New Mexico.
Fuck you!
That's right. Fuck you, New Mexico. Once upon a time, New Mexico was the land of enchantment. That was then. Now, according to its gloomy proletariat webpage, it's all about equity and community and access to this and access to that. Access to, of course, means free stuff that's not really free. It's just paid for by other people. So as of Monday, June 26th, when we crossed into Arizona after the interminable drive through the Mojave Desert, I was no longer a resident of California. It felt pretty good. It would have felt better if I could have incinerated, by telekinesis, all the commie politician parasites that destroyed California. But I lack that power. It's been a fun journey so far, almost all of it desert. Made a few stops in places that are unique and fascinating. Like the Jackrabbit Trading Post in the Arizona desert. It's one of the few owner-operated trading posts in the Southwest. The logo is a silhouette of a huge hare, captioned by the phrase, "Here it is," and there it is, in the middle of nowhere, filled with refrigerator magnets and trucker hats and bottle openers and keychains and license plates with kitschy jokes and turquoise and silver. The dust blows across the parking lot, where there's an old green Nash automobile sinking into the desert floor. There's a statue of a 7-foot rabbit with a saddle on his back. The railroad track is just across the 2-lane blacktop, and the near-constant click-clack of mile-long trains is hypnotic. A dust storm was coming in from the east, which made the train appear to be materializing from nothing as it came into view. It was eerie. A little ways down the road is an abandoned gas station with sagebrush and ragweed quilting the concrete slabs. Once it was a gleaming chrome and neon temple of a mighty oil corporation. Now the desert shows it who's boss. The pumps are rusting. The concrete is buckling. Chunks of the overhang are falling to the floor. Nature always wins. No exceptions. None. This episode isn't quite what I'd planned. Moose's condition knocked things sideways. Fortunately, he seems to be bouncing back once again. I'll be posting updates and pictures from the road. You can see them at thatlarryshow.com or Facebook and my new Twitter account. Just enter the number 2, That Larry Show, in the search bar and you'll see me and the Take No Shit Dojo logo. I'd be grateful if you'd follow me there as well, because as much as I revile Twitter, a presence there is necessary for the show to grow. Stop by thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes, and links to PayPal and Patreon if you want to help support the show. Thanks for hanging with me once again. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts from another hotel room somewhere in America. And until then, God bless and take no shit.